Yeah, so good. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Lamb of God. Thank you, Jesus. As we go and prepare our hearts for the preach, I want to just say that the Lord's just really been just working in us. And I want to ask Leonie if she will come. Ons gaan 'n bietjie oorslaan nou na die hemelse taal toe, hulle sê. En ek wil net vir julle sê, nee, as julle Afrikaans is en julle wil 'n woord bring, julle hoef nie skaam te wees nie. En julle hoef nie dit in Engels te doen nie. Alright, julle kan Afrikaans praat. So julle moet nooit voel dat jy kan nie, of julle kan nie. Is dit reg so? Leonie?
Ek wil net graag met julle deel wat die Here op my hart gelê het. Ek het verlede Sondag net toe na die gemeente gekyk en toe het ek net gewonder wat wil die Here doen met ons hierso. En dit ek het so duidelik gevoel dat soos hy, ons is allemaal uitgekies om hier te wees. En die rede hoekom die Here sy disippels uitgekies het, het hy hulle nie sommer net gevat en net so rou gevat en in sy werk ingestuur, in die veld ingestuur om te gaan bedien nie. Maar hy het hulle voorberei. Met ander woorde, daai kor, daai 12 disciples, het hy geleer. En hy het hulle geleer sodat hulle diep gegrond is, diep in die woord, diep in die getuienis en dit wat hy vir hulle wil leer. En die oomblik toe hy reg, toe hulle reg was, het die Here hulle uitgestuur. Dis wat die Here met ons beplan. Hierdie tyd wat die leiers vir ons leer, die boodskappe wat hulle gebring het tot dusver, is allemaal diep, dit allemaal geraak ons karakters, dit het allemaal tot ons harte gespreek. En dis wat die Here wil doen. Hy wil hierdie gemeente, allemaal van ons, eers diep vat om te groei, sodat wanneer die tyd reg is, dat ons reg is om te doen wat hy vir ons sê, dat ons een geloof kan uitgaan en doen wat hy op ons harte gelê het om te doen.
Amen, that's so good. Yeah, thank you, Leonie. John, it's time. Yeah, it's exciting for me to let John preach to you this afternoon. Well, God's going to speak through him. And it's such a blessing for us to have John and Kanya with us on team. And yeah, we love serving with you guys. And I really appreciate you. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this man. We thank you for just the years of deep work that you've done in him, Lord. And you've planted him with deep roots, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, for the word that you've put in his heart. I thank you, Father, that you will speak to us. And I pray, Lord, that we receive this word, Lord, as though it's coming directly from your mouth, Lord. I pray that you will speak clearly through him. I pray that you'll give John clear thoughts now. And I just pray that for your protection and your blood to be over his mind, and that there will be no distractions, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. And won't you come, Holy Spirit, the anointed one of God, won't you come and speak through him as you've anointed him today for this purpose. And we receive it, Lord, with hearts that are ready to receive the seed, Lord. Hearts that are soft, that are ready to have the seed planted in us, Lord. As you are working in us, Lord, we pray that you will continue to do that through this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. Yeah, I've been having this word brewing in my heart for quite a while now to bring to you, and it's part of a series we're doing, and we feel that God wants to speak to us as a body about the fullness of His kingdom, and that fullness of the kingdom brings wholeness. It brings freedom. It brings peace and joy. It brings righteousness. So we started this series looking 2 weeks ago at the Israelites and how the Israelites were captive in Egypt, and they were begging to be set free. They and God called out Moses, and he said, "Let my people go to serve me in the wilderness." And that word "serve" is the same word that that is used in the Bible to say they were serving the Egyptians, and that word actually is to worship. And so God wanted his people to go into the wilderness to worship him, and the worship was him molding a nation to represent him, to represent his character, who he is. And it was also to give the law. The law was there to protect them, to guide them. We even looked at how practical the law was in terms of protection and things like that. But so many times we read that the Israelites wanted to go back to Egypt. I was going to start my stopwatch. I forgot. They wanted to go back to Egypt. So, and I feel this is a word for us at the moment in terms of, you know, many of us are saved, many of us are on this journey, but sometimes we go back to Egypt. Sometimes we set free from things, but it gets a bit hard and it gets a bit confusing, and we slip back into our captivity, and God wants to set us free. And so that's what we're doing. You know, what does wholeness look like? How do we measure it? And that's where we're going. Last week, I wasn't here. I was really sad that I wasn't here, but we were in Cape Town. But Paul was speaking about us being part of a community, part of a church where we belong. And this is where this journey happens. It doesn't happen in isolation. We can't do this on our own. It's impossible. You can argue with me until you're blue in the face. I've never seen it. Practically, people changed and walking fullness in the kingdom of God on their own. They can't. It takes a body of believers. And we're going to see now why I'm saying this. And then today I'm going to be speaking about thy kingdom come. What does that look like? What does that look like inside of me? What does that look like around me? Next week I'm going to be doing renewing of the mind. How do we do that? And then a week after that, we're going to be doing testimonies of what God has been doing in these weeks. All right. So now you've already got the preview of the next 2 weeks. All right, we're going to be doing the renewing of the mind and how God wants to transform the way we think through the kingdom, which I'm going to be speaking about now. And then we're going to have testimonies. And we've already got testimonies of people being transformed in their life, in their marriages, in the way that they think, in their finances. God has broken through miraculously in people's lives in this church just in the last few weeks as they've applied God's principles and his kingdom to their life. And it's incredible. And I'm so excited for that testimony because it's exactly what we're speaking about. And so what is God's kingdom? This is my favoritest, is that a word? Yeah. My bestest. I love speaking about God's kingdom. And because Jesus mentions salvation twice in the Bible. He mentions the kingdom of God over 100 times. So now, why? What's the difference? When you see the word kingdom when you're reading your Bible, do you interpret it as salvation? Well, I want to tell you it's so much more. It is salvation, but it's so much more. Jesus says the following in John 10, verse 9. It says this, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." So Jesus is the door. A door leads to somewhere. A door leads to something. What is that? John 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is more than, there's more. There's the kingdom of God is bigger. It's the fullness of Jesus, don't get me wrong, but there's so much more to salvation, if that makes sense. There's the walking out of our salvation. I'll give you a quick illustration on my own life. So I was brought up in the church. I was a Christian, and a sincere Christian. I thought I was doing pretty well at school. And I used to go to Sunday school, and I used to go to church, and I read my Bible every night, and I prayed a lot. And I left school, and I think I've told you this story before, and the wheels just came off horribly. And I was very confused, because I was a Christian. But somehow, I didn't have the wisdom to walk correctly outside of the structure of church and things like that. And I started to question my faith because suddenly everything was going wrong. The decisions I was making, I look back now and I'm thinking, how could I have been that stupid? Like, really? I was making the most horrible decisions that was leading me down path of destruction, but yet I was a Christian. And it got so confusing to me that I was prepared to do anything to find more. In other words, I said to myself, and this is just as we got married, I said, there must be more to life and Christian life than just this. I wasn't satisfied. And so we sold our house. We sold everything we owned, and we went to a discipleship school or Bible school, but it was actually a discipleship program where we could learn about God's kingdom. And it radically changed my life. If I look back on the trajectory that I was on to where I am now, I tell you what, I don't think it would have been very nice to be married to me, if that makes sense. Kanya took a very big chance on me. But God had a plan. But what I'm saying is I've experienced more than salvation. It's the working of Christ in me, and that's what I want to share with you today. Because the Bible is truth that sets us free. So the closest definition that there is in the Bible is in Romans 14, verse 17. And this is in the context of food and drink. And so it says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. All right? So whenever you hear the word kingdom, this is what it represents. Okay? So say after me. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. And again, righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. So whenever you see the word kingdom now, when you read your Bible, that's what you're going to read. Okay? It's not only salvation. It's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. So when you're looking at wholeness, what are you looking at? Righteousness. Righteousness brings peace. It brings joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you're lacking righteousness, if you're lacking peace, and if you're lacking joy, it means the kingdom needs to come into your heart. Does that make sense? There are many Christians who are saved and do not have peace. and do not have joy and struggle with righteousness. And so, what are we looking at? Well, first of all, what does kingdom mean? So, a kingdom has a king. That's why it's called that. So, the kingdom, the king is God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He's our king. Kingdom, domain, we are his domain. He is Lord to our lives. So if he's the king, we the domain, he has full rulership. You see, like we mentioned a while ago, what does a healthy church look like? Unless we understand what a healthy church looks like, how do we get there? We have to know where we're going. In the same way, if we don't know what kingdom looks like inside of someone, how do we know if we're there yet? You're following me. We have to know what that rulership looks like. We have to know what that dominion of God in our lives looks like. Because then we have something to compare it to. Is the kingdom fully established in my heart or is it not? Jesus gives a very long discourse in the Bible all about the kingdom. It's a scripture that we don't have time to go into. I'm going to skim over it, but do yourselves a favor. This week, go and read this probably 10 times. It will change your life. Reading it through the eyes of having an understanding of his kingdom. But I'm going to, so it's a Sermon on the Mount, and he is explaining what his kingdom looks like. But there's a part right towards the end that gives a very good explanation. So he gives all these principles, and then he gives these scriptures. I'm going to swing it around a bit just for easier explanation. I'm going to start with Matthew 7, verse 14. It says, "For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Okay, so now we know that this kingdom that we're talking about is actually not easy. We know that only a few will find it. I'm praying that every single one of us here do. You see, that leads to life. That life is Zoe life. It's the life of God. It's the fullness of life. Who wants the fullness of life in this room? Anyone? Everyone. So if everyone in this room wants that, why don't we all have it all the time? See, this narrow path is difficult and it's hard, but it is lined with his word, and it's lined with his Holy Spirit. So now I understand things in a visual way, all right? I'm very visually, I learned visually. So when I was asking God how this works, he showed me in the picture, and this is how I just understand it. So you're welcome to climb on board with me in what I see. If you don't, it's fine too. But I see a path like this alleyway, and on each chair that is lining this path that's going to that door is a principle of God, is something of God that is a command. It's a principle exactly like the law was for the Israelites. It's something that's there to protect me. It's something there that keeps me in my, so that I know, hang on, I'm going too close to it now. But importantly, it's almost like a train track. Something that keeps me dead on straight is his word and the Spirit, and they run in parallel. And if, as long as I am close to the word and I'm close to the Spirit, I'm not going to fall off. Because on the other side of this principle is Matthew 7, verse 13, it says, enter the narrow gate. Okay, we've just spoken about that. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it by it are many. So on the other side of this, it's easy. It's wide. There's no it just anything goes. I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example. I've got three older children. They've all left school, and they've all gone through puberty. They've all liked girls. They've all liked boys. My daughters like boys. Yeah, check them squirming there. One of them, I won't say which one of the three, came to me one day and they said, Dad, how far is too far with the opposite sex? Okay, so now we're talking a principle. So I go, do you realize you're now flirting with God's word? Because you're asking the wrong question. All right, now you're wanting the boundary. You're trying to see how close I can get away with this. The wrong question. What's the right question? What's the word say and what's the spirit say? What does it say? How do you pursue purity in your relationship? That's the right question. Suddenly, that question of how far is too far, it vanishes. Because you've asked the right question of how do I keep myself pure for marriage? How do I honor God in my relationship with this girl I like or with this boy I like? That's the right question. You understand? So as soon as we start flirting with these principles and trying to find how far I can go, we're already in trouble. You understand? You with me? Okay. Sure. I've got a lot to get through. I might skip over some stuff. But God gives us some promises. So I want to rush over the Sermon on the Mount because I want to show that it is God's will, it is God's desire for us to walk in wholeness. It's God's perfect plan for us to be set free. I'm going to jump. When God teaches us to pray, by the way, if your Bible says the Lord's Prayer, just cross out the Lord's Prayer. God won't ever pray this prayer. It's a sinner's prayer. All right, just a correction in your Bible. You can cross out the Lord's Prayer. It's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the sinner's prayer. It says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That was the scripture that had me wrestling with this for a very long time. What does it look like? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in other words, God is saying we need to pray that his kingdom comes on earth the same way as it is in heaven and his will. Which means it's possible. You see, back in the 1980s, there was a belief that went around that we're actually living in hell, and God is coming back before the year 2000. True, and is going to rescue us out of hell into heaven. And so people were buying farms to have a kibbutz. And they were trying to escape hell so that they could live in this kingdom No, that's not what this scripture was saying. The kingdom is in our hearts. The kingdom is our character. The kingdom is how we walk out our faith, and is through faith. It's not a physical thing. And so the kingdom has been a lot of bad theology has surrounded the kingdom of God. And so people are a little bit scared and shy of how they preach it. But I want to tell you that it is possible, and it's His will. And if we take the word, if we believe the word, and we apply the word, His kingdom comes on earth in our hearts. We walk in that kingdom. It says in, I'm completely going off my notes, but I don't have time. It says, for God's, in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Do you notice that the devil doesn't have right to devour you, to attack you? Seeking someone to devour. So he's on the lookout. So what gives him the right? Well, you take away one of these principles and there's a massive hole in the wall. And he's got full right. You see, we have protection. God has already won the fight. God has already won the battle. So we are completely protected by His kingdom. Does that make sense? Now, does that mean we don't have trauma in our lives? Does that mean nothing goes wrong? No, actually the contrary. But what I am saying is, as long as you keep the word close to your heart, the Spirit leading you, you will be in His kingdom. So, for example, say a major trauma happens, a death in the family or sickness or something like that, or you lose your job or something, I'm protected. This isn't going to take me out. It's not going to affect my faith. You know, one of the things when Benjamin was sick and he was diagnosed with cancer, I had to make sure that my spirit man was being fed, that I was staying strong. My emotions were all over the place, but I couldn't be led by them. I had to be led by the Spirit. And I had to know, no matter the outcome, that God is good. Because that's what the Bible says. You understand? So even if this massive hole is burst into the wall from a trauma or from something that happens or whatever, I've got to make sure that I'm staying to the Word and I'm staying being led by the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? And so, one of the biggest... Okay, let me go here. I'm all over the place, but I believe I need to be. That word that came from you is, I believe, really from God. I believe God wants to break a paradigm in our minds. I believe that there's a belief that because of my past, or because of the things I've experienced, or because of that person there, I can't walk in the freedom that I see that person walking in. Or I will never get there. And God wants to break that paradigm. God wants to break that lie. And I want to share with you that freedom is guaranteed if we obey the word of God and we are led by the Spirit and we're walking in His kingdom. You see, Jesus, in this parable, not parable, in this teaching, he calls us to a higher calling. So he says this. Where am I? Matthew 5, verse 20. It says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So now he's speaking to a Jewish audience. There are scribes and Pharisees there, and he's saying that the law. So it's impossible to keep the law, all right? So it's impossible. It shows you that you need a savior. But he says, "I'm calling you to something higher." And everyone goes, "Whoa, well, that's impossible." He says, "For I tell you," and then he gives two examples, Matthew 5, 22. It says, "But I say to you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool, you'll be liable to the hell of fire." So in other words, there's a higher bar. You see the higher bar. So the law said, "You shall not murder." Grace says, "You will not even speak badly of your brother. And if you call him a fool," oh, that's rough. But there's counsel. And there's judgment. He goes on and says in Matthew 5, 28, "But I say to you that anyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If the right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body can be thrown into hell." In other words, he's calling us now to a higher place than what was impossible before. In Matthew 5, 48, it says, "You therefore must be perfect." Who's perfect? Yeah. "As your heavenly Father is perfect." Okay, so now we've just, okay, I give up. I can't. Who can be perfect? Well, no one can. Well, so if you look at that perfect word, that perfect, the word is teleos, which is fully grown, lacking in nothing. That's a high call. That's a high call. So how are we meant to live? But Jesus goes on and says the following. So now he sets an impossible bar. He sets a standard that is so high, you're thinking, okay, this isn't good. But then he says, "But seek first his kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Ah, but hang on, so now there's hope. It says, if we seek his kingdom, if we look for it, and his righteousness, he will give it. So what was impossible, what's impossible in the flesh, he can now say it's yours. In Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For anyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father who is in heaven give good gifts or good things to those who ask him?" That scripture isn't about receiving a new iPhone or a new car or anything like that. It's about God will give us the kingdom of God because we've asked. He is a good God. So the very thing that is impossible for us to get, a high jump bar that no one can get, not even an Olympian can get. He's asking us to cross, but he says, if you ask me, I will give it to you. I will enable you. But there's now a warning. Matthew 7, verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. And grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So he's saying they are bad prophets. Be careful of them. So then he goes on to say they're also false disciples. Do you know that you also get false disciples? He says, not everyone who says to me, this is verse 21, says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So there we have the wide and the narrow path. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. And so he's saying that there's this bar that's higher than the law, but he is faithful to give us what we ask for. It says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things that we actually after will be given to us, whether that's finances. He says, do not care for the birds. He looks after the birds. Why do we worry about tomorrow? This scripture gives us all these principles that line this path. If you go and read it, I don't have time to go through it. It gives all these principles that line this path. He says, but if you seek it, then you will find it. There are some false prophets, they're even false disciples. Don't let that disqualify you. You see, I want to end with this. The word church hurt is thrown around willy-nilly. Is that a proper word I can use? You know, if you haven't had the opportunity to be hurt in church, you're probably in the wrong church. Hear me? Because we are here to sharpen each other. So there has to be opportunity to be offended. Has to be. If there isn't an opportunity to be offended, you're not growing. But what happens when we get offended, we leave and we never grow. I tell you what, the best thing that can happen to you is you are offended because now you've got something to work on. You've got a principle that you go and say, hey, where's this boundary? No. Where's my purity in this? Let's take the Bible. Let's obey it. Let's go speak to the person first. Let's not go and gossip about it. Let's not go tell anyone but the person who's offended me. And suddenly you realize, oh, it was just a communication error. And you say, thank you, God, you've taught me something. You understand? Man, I pray that every single one of us has the opportunity. And I actually want to teach into that a bit later on the whole thing of how do we deal with offense. But we need the opportunity. We need the possibility of being offended. Because then we grow. Because we are here for each other. this is a brewing pot of offense. It is. And it has to be. Don't run from it. Embrace it. Because God is calling you to the hard, to the narrow, and few find it. Don't run. Anyway, that's my... It says, Matthew 7, verse 24, and I'm going to end on this. So this is talking about his kingdom. It says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And anyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell. And great was the fall. And so God is calling us not to build our faith on a man, on Josh, Jen, whatever, on 412, whatever, on that pastor who offended me whenever, on... No, he's asking us to build our faith on the rock, which is Jesus Christ, who is the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God brings freedom, it brings joy and peace. And we walk in victory. Who wants that? All right. And I think if we are able to see this in our minds, and we know that that is what we're pursuing, we won't get caught up in church politics. There shouldn't be such a thing. We won't get caught up in the, oh, but I was overlooked, or, oh, why can't I sing on the stage, or why? Guys, there's something bigger happening here. It's called the kingdom of God. And we are going to encourage every single one of you, and you're going to encourage each other. Because you know what? It takes someone else to look at your blind spots. Because when you're walking down and you're walking too close to that edge, it takes a friend, it takes a brother, it takes a sister to say, hey, let's look at the word. Here's what the Holy Spirit is saying. Let's get you back into the middle of the road so we can glorify God. And so there are two things I want to pray for. And the one is righteousness is right standing with God. Righteousness is right standing with God. That's where the word comes from. And we've been called to righteousness. We've been called to a right relationship with our Heavenly Father who has called us. And so... I'm presuming that not everyone here has made that commitment. The second one, is we're going to pray for his kingdom to come, and I believe there needs to be a repentance of having holes in our walls, and Satan is having a field day because he has access. But I'm going to get there. But I first want to pray for anyone here who doesn't feel that while I've been speaking to them, they're going, I don't believe I'm in right standing with God. I don't want to be part of the easy way and the way that many will find. I want to be part of the hard way and the way that few find. Is there anyone here who wants to pray that for the very first time?